Blog Talk Radio.
That's Joe Cochran. You are so beautiful. Good evening, everybody. This is Delicious Talk. I'm your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. And hopefully everybody's having a beautiful Friday. Little strange things been going on here in the DMV. For instance, we had an earthquake. Can you believe that? On the East Coast, an earthquake. Wow. It was so scary. I was home alone, sitting in my office. All of a sudden, the house starts shaking. So I'm thinking, well, maybe it's a big truck, because from time to time when trucks go down the avenue, the house will shake a little and the windows will rattle depending on how big the truck is. So I said, okay. But then it continued. And all kind of things was running through my brain. What's going on? I kept looking up because I thought maybe it was just my house. Maybe it was just falling down. I didn't know I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off before I realized that, hey, we're having an earthquake. We actually are having an earthquake. Okay, so after getting over that, I tried to call people. The phone lines were down. It was so scary because not being able to talk with anybody or to get in touch with anybody, you know, was even more frightening for me because I didn't know what was going on, how bad it had been in other places. It had originated somewhere in Virginia, I think Mineral, Virginia, and after the dust cleared, they showed the damage that it had did down there, but I understand it went as far as Boston, New York, you know, upstate. That's really scary. Then we have being threatened with Irene, the hurricane. I heard that originated in the Bahamas, and it's been pretty torn up down there. Wow. What's going to happen next? So that's basically, to me, a wake-up call, sign of the times. If your house isn't in order, I suggest you get it in order. Anyway, those are the two things, main things that happened here this week, and everybody's bracing for Irene, I'm told. When you go to the store, don't buy any perishables, because if the electricity goes out, all your food is going to go to waste anyway. Pepco, we're giving out friendly reminders of when the service go down, which I'm hoping it doesn't. Actually, I hope Irene just breezes on by us. I really do. Because I remember a few summers ago when we had real bad, bad thunderstorms and flooding and the electricity that went out. That was really a horrible time. So let's just pray and hope that Irene bypasses us. Okay, tonight's show, I'm not sure if my guest is going to show up because of the threat of Irene, but I'm going to go on for a few minutes, and if he doesn't show up, then I'll close the show down and we will reschedule it, because I do understand that, you know, people were warned to do different things to accommodate themselves in this Irene affair. That's Antoine T. Money. His movie did debut on July the 24th, and I went to it. I went to the after party. It was really a phenomenal movie. Very well put together. The producer and director, Bryant Nesbitt, young black man, definitely knew what he was doing when he put this movie together. All the actors were A+. Antoine T. Money, Suda Bay, I think I'm not pronouncing her name correctly, but Sudea Strangler, which was the other main character in the movie. She played as Maya, Antoine's wife in the movie. Excuse me for a minute, everybody. Sorry about that. But the movie was definitely well worth the money you pay to see it. It's going to be going to New York, and if you want to see this movie in your state, city, or town, please request it. You will not regret it. The movie was definitely all that. And, you know, like I mentioned, if my guest does not show up, I do understand, because there is a hurricane watch. And I see Miss Kane is in the chat room. Hey, sweetie, what's going on? I also understand it's supposed to hit down North Carolina. My grandson is in North Carolina, so be safe, sweetie. Everybody down there, be safe. Everybody who's in the eye of the tornado, be safe. You know, and just, I know they did a lot of evacuation of different places where people were close to the waters and different things like that. So hopefully we won't have any casualties. And like I said, just hopefully Irene will just breeze on by. But if she doesn't, you know, I hope God is with everyone who's in her way. Okay, a few other things I've been up to. I'm in the process of writing a play. For those of you who don't know me, I am an author and a poet. I have 4 published books. My first book, What's Past Is Not Forgotten, which is my baby. My second book, You Might Get Lucky. My third book, A Book of Delicious Erotic Short Stories. And my fourth book, the sequel to my first book, What's Past Is Not Forgotten, The Reunion. And I think our guest is on the line.
Yeah. Because I'm on the talk radio.
No, sorry, that that's not my guess. But, yeah, like I had mentioned, those are the four books I have published, and I've also done contribute to a couple of other books, a couple of anthologies, erotic anthologies, and a couple of inspirational books. I'm also working on putting a CD together and working on making my first book into a movie. And eventually, my second book, You Might Get Lucky, after, you know, turns into a play, I'm going to work on making that into a movie as well. So I'm basically keeping a little bit busy, you know, doing things. So, there isn't too much more that's going on. I have some shows that are going to be lined up for September. This is the last show of this month. I haven't posted anything yet, but please check back, you know, to my page and see what's going to be coming up. And if there's anybody out there listening who would like to be a guest on my show, just leave me a message. You can leave me a message at... Thanks, Gail. Thank you. Anyway, I'm going to play a song. Thank you. us, I'll be sure, tender lover. That's a beautiful song. Like I had mentioned earlier, if my guest doesn't show up within the next few minutes, I'm going to close the show down because I'm quite sure something has come up to keep him from not showing up. A few things that's going on in the DMV tomorrow at the ARC. It's on Mississippi Avenue in Southeast. There's going to be a young lady, a one-woman show. This young lady's name is Consciousness, I think. Anyway, she's has a show that she's doing about her life, how she contracted AIDS from a female lover of hers. That should be a very interesting play to see, especially a one-woman play. I've never seen, a one-person play, but that's going to be interesting, and I'm seriously thinking about attending that. Can't think of anything else that's going on, but that's just something to put into DMV's ears, the ones who are out there listening who would like to check out this play tomorrow at the ARC. It's on Mississippi Avenue in Southeast Washington, D.C. And there's two shows. One is at 2 and another is at 6. And the cost of the tickets are $20. That's tomorrow at the ARC, again, on Mississippi Avenue in Southeast Washington, D.C. Okay. Rhea?
Hi.
Hi, how are you? Everybody, this is my co-host, Rhea.
Hello.
How are you, darling?
I'm doing.
Oh, you don't sound too well. I hope everything's okay. I understand about the author that had passed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I haven't been asleep. That was a friend of mine, so... It kind of shook me up a little bit more than I thought it was going to.
Right. I saw, pictures of you guys on Facebook. Sorry to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's always hard when you lose a loved one. Whether it's a family member or just, someone who you've become close to over the years. And my condolences go out to his family members and everybody he left behind that loved him. And you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So I was speaking of the different catastrophes that had happened in the last few days. Well, one of them and the other one that's on the way. Our guest
is
not
on the shore?
Huh?
Are you on the shore?
I didn't hear you.
I said, are you on the shore?
Am I on the shore?
On the water.
Yeah.
So you don't have to leave?
No, they didn't evacuate here.
Okay. No, I'm sorry, you're in Maryland. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to put you on mute for a minute.
Okay. Yeah, like I had mentioned, there were some evacuations done in different parts of the city or different parts of the state, I guess.
I'm sorry for a minute. I don't know why I had you in New York all of a sudden.
No, darling, Marilyn. Yeah, but I do understand they did do some evacuations in different places.
Yeah.
But, like I had mentioned earlier, I just hope this thing just blows over. Just hope it blows over. Because we went through... Wow, that earthquake was enough for me. And then, to have Irene come up is a double whammy. So how are you guys up there preparing for it? Is it coming that way as well? Rhea?
I'm sorry, I still had you on mute. I'm in my girlfriend's house, and her daughter had came in, so I put it on mute and forgot and just was talking my butt off. Anyway, I understand that in New York, we're not doing anything or anything like that up this way. But I know, like they said, in New York, they evacuated everybody 10 floors or higher.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even know they had started evacuation. But I haven't watched any news today.
Right. Well, I was, you know, catching glimpses of it while they had were doing some evacuating.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so I don't know. But I just, like I had mentioned, I just, you know, hope it just breezes past.
Yeah, I hope that it is not, you know, it may get a little, the rain and the wind a little bit, but it doesn't do any major damages to anything.
Right. And I also had told, mentioned that people who are stocking up on, you know, foods, it would be useless and a waste to get perishables because in case the electricity goes out, your food is going to spoil.
Exactly.
So, you know, just get things that don't need to be refrigerated. Because I remember a few years ago when we had a very bad storm. I don't know if it was a tornado or what was going on, but the electricity had went out and people, the electricity was out for a week. And people's food had spoiled. It was a mess. I mean, it was just a mess.
Mm.
Horrible. You know, and it was like in the summertime, you bacon. Oh, my God, that was just one horrible. Yeah. That was one horrible event. So, you know, people, I don't know, I guess, just have to brace and pray for the better. And I also had mentioned that our guest has not shown up yet, so I'm just assuming that something had came up with him. I had spoken with him earlier, and he said he was going to be on call with his job because of the hurricane or tornado.
Okay.
What is it, a hurricane or tornado?
Hurricane Irene.
Okay, because of the hurricane, so maybe he's caught up with that. But do you have any news or anything you want to put out there?
Oh, no, just nothing at all. At this time, things are just steady and stable.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to I think it's been ample enough time for him to come on, and it's obviously that he's not. So we're going to close the show down a little early because I was really prepared to have him on, you know, and I spoke about everything that I do. You mm-hmm. let people know that you're a book reviewer.
Yeah, I am a book reviewer. I review for basically independently, also for Maddie's Peer Article, which is a literary magazine that's put out 4 times a year. And it gives you all the information that you need to go to a bookstore to buy a book. And it gives you samples of the book, book reviews. It gives you poetry and different things such as that. And I'm also a reviewer for Shades of Romance magazine. And it's called SMORG. SMORG is the acronym for it. In addition to reviewing from my reading circle, which is the Chatown Reading Circle. So that's primarily what I'm doing now. And I'm in quite a bit of demand for some reason, so I guess I'm doing a good job at it.
How long you been doing that?
Well, in actuality, probably, let's say, 2 years. Because I did it off and on for a book here and a book there, but I wasn't doing it consistently. And then people started coming to me to review their books. And because of some book reviews that they had read that I had done, but the first author was Beverly Jenkins.
Mm-hmm.
she was one of the first ones who actually requested me to do a book review. And I had the opportunity to meet Frances Ray. And she suggested that I start reviewing some of the books that I read because of the detailedness of the questions and things mm-hmm. that I asked her at that time. She actually mm-hmm. suggested that I write, but that wasn't going to happen. So that's not my forte. I'll read. I'll leave the writing up to the people that can, you know, do that. I'm pretty popular in that arena, and also in working with new authors, as such as like helping them with resources and developing contact lists for potential interviews and things such as that. And those are things that basically I just do for the love of books. I fell into it.
Mm-hmm. So you're not in a book club, you're an independent reviewer.
Well, no, I did start a reading circle just over a year ago, and basically I did it because people kept coming to me and asking me. That's one of the reasons that I'm on Facebook is the connection with the authors. One of the reasons I post my book reviews is because people kept coming to me asking me what type of book to read and refer this and refer that. And instead of telling the same person, instead of telling 25 people the same thing, I refer them now to my book review and things such as that. And I do have a blog that's up and running, and it's called Real Book Reviews at oneessence.com. And it's just one place where I can put the things that I do, and at the same time, I'm sure I'm going to have conversations from here and there or pose questions and things such as that. But I have a real concern with the quality of some of the reviews out there, and I think mm-hmm. that's another one of the reasons why I actually started doing it, and I just, like I said, it took a life of its own. I'm not down to anybody for you know what they do with that, but it's just certain little trends that I'm noticing that make me suspicious that some of these people reviewing these books are not even reading these books.
Right.
And
it's true.
Exactly, because if you write a book that has twists and turns in it, and you get a review, and it talks nonsense of some of those little things, or it doesn't even reference them, it just makes me suspicious because so basically I'm doing it at the author's because authors requested me to do so, and then mm-hmm. I actually learned the importance of them.
Right. I had spoken with a lady who reviews books. Now, I'm not a book reviewer, but mm-hmm. I have read, books and gave them reviews. But I am definitely not a book reviewer, so people, be careful. when you send me your book, know that I am not a book reviewer. But I understand that a real true book reviewer is a person who reads your book, whether it's a good book, bad book, or if they can't stand the book. You have to read that book in order to be an honest, upfront book reviewer. Now, have you ever had a book that you had a hard time getting through, but you knew you had to read it in order to review it?
Hold on 1 second, okay? I need to close this. I had one that was hard for me to start. What did she get in? I had one that was hard for me to start, but once I got into it, it was actually a better book than I thought it was. When I say thought it was, you know how sometimes the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, I'm letting the baby out. sometimes the beginning is such that you said, oh, I thought this book was something else. But then once I actually got into the book, it did one of those twists or those turns, and it's like, oh, wow, it was better than I thought it was. And I was, like, this one particular book, I was kind of disappointed that I had waited so long to read it. I'm very, I guess you could say anal to a certain degree, about the reviewing books in the order that they're received. And you know, and I tell the author that I'm this far ahead, and you may be 2 months before you see a review and this, that, and the other. I'm always very straight up with them, but I definitely review in the order received. And just because I buy your book doesn't mean you can look for a book review anytime soon, because the books that are sent to me are definitely going to take precedence over anything that I purchase.
Right.
Straight out, because this person has sent me their book under the guise that I review it, so they're going to get priority always.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing I just about certain things that I have been seeing and watching. It's like there's no way some people can read the number of books that they're claiming that they're reading.
Right.
So
how do you judge a book by the cover? Say, like, if it has a very interesting cover, does that capture your attention? Or do you read the synopsis? What captures your attention when you first get a book?
No. Neither of them. Okay. What tends to hold my attention more than anything else is that author telling me about that book.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give me the synopsis. Tell me briefly. Like, there's terminology going around that I like a lot. Give me your elevator spiel. From the time it takes us to go up in the elevator, if I was somebody you were introducing your book to, what would you tell me?
Mm-hmm.
And when they describe it to me in that instance, then it's like, oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's something that I could, you know, I just noticed they just cut that music up. I'm like, oh, wow, that's something that I can get into. So usually I don't just pick books that I like to review.
Mm-hmm.
I've never turned a person down for doing a review yet. However, I did read a book that was so poorly edited that I told the person, I gave the person the option, and I told them point blank, I don't think you want me to review this book.
Mm-hmm.
And I did tell them, I said, you need to have this book edited before you put this book back out on the market. I said, because you're going to run into a problem when people are paying money for what's in the product. And it takes away from the story. Now, if your editing doesn't take away from the story, that doesn't impact me. But when I review a book, I strictly review that book for the content of that story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, the cover, the this, then the other, and if there's little editing blurbs here and there, they don't bother me as long as they don't take me away from the story. Now, they take me away from the story or make me have to reread things several times just to try to figure out what is going on, then that's going to be something worth mentioning.
Right, so the editing is very important, opposed to as long as it doesn't, well, if it doesn't take away from the story, then there's not a problem. But when it takes away from the story, then there is a problem. And I can understand that, because if you
have to, I mean, because we all go, if there's going to be errors, some of the top authors have errors in their book. I mean, those books are sometimes, Lord knows how many thousands of words.
Mm-hmm.
So you're apt to make a mistake, and I get that. But like I said, if it's something that takes me away from the story, then that's something that I'm going to mention, and that is something that will reduce the rating on that can reduce the rating on a book. But if it doesn't take me away from the story, I may mention it to the author, but it won't really impact the review. I review strictly on the quality of the story, and I read everything. I read the book cover to cover.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledgements and everything. When I read a book, I read the book in its entirety.
Right. Well, that's what a true book reviewer is, I understand, you know, but like I said, I am not a book reviewer, even though I've read, you know, a few interesting books and gave reviews on them. But
uh-huh.
If a book doesn't hold my attention, I really, it's nothing that I can do with it, and I'm glad that I'm not a true book reviewer, because I would have to be stuck with reading books that basically I really want to throw up against a wall. So I really am confessing to everybody out there, you know, not to say that I wouldn't, you know, if you send me a book and it captures my attention and I read it, I will give you a review on it.
Mm-hmm. Now, the one thing that I, Lord, I just went blank. Oh, yes, I
that
did that
happens,
radio.
Darling.
I
mm-hmm.
just, as a friend of mine said, I just had a junior moment. I'm not claiming senior quite yet, so I just had a junior moment. And it's like, oh, I know what I was going to say. Usually when you review, especially if you review for an entity, now with Maddie's periodical, my independently, as well as with my reading circle. Those are books, you know, those are books I accept to review. So definitely I have any kind of discretion that I want to say yay or nay. But usually, like with Smorg, for example, usually when you review for a standing entity, they
mm-hmm.
usually question you at the time that they accepted you as a reviewer, and they
mm-hmm.
will ask you, what genres do you like to read in?
Right.
And they would try to stick to sending you books only in those genres. That's the one genre. That's one of the things that most official organizations or, you know, entities that involve reviewers, that's what they do. That's why if Real Lexus Banks don't like horror, they wouldn't send me a horror book.
Right.
Ever. Now, I did turn down one book. I did turn down one book, and I won't read it, but I never
mm-hmm.
accepted it because it's
mm-hmm.
it's a scary book, and I don't do scary.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, but you need to just try it. Mm-mm. I don't need to try that. I told him, do you want me to find you some people who like horror? And he started laughing. He said, you're not going to give me a chance. I said, no, sir. But I can appreciate your effort.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to, because I don't do horror films. I don't do that. And
mm-hmm.
Two of the authors that I'm really close to, they do horror. And
mm-hmm.
I've never read any of their books. And one
mm-hmm.
of them said, you're not going to read any of my books, are you, no, sir? I said, now, you write, he said, but man, I have some comedy in it. I said, mm-hmm. That's why I see all that blood on your cover. So I guess that I did turn down a book when somebody wanted me to read that book. I did turn down a book before because I don't do, like I review, I don't do horror. I don't like it. I can't get into the story, and there's no way, in my opinion, that I could give that book a fair review because I'm going to have to fight to even get through that book.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wonder, are you going to actually read the whole thing? Are you going to be able
yeah.
So there's no way I would do anything like that. But most official entities ask you what genres, and they ask you to give them, some of them list them and tell you to circle three or four or whatever, or some of them just tell you to tell them which ones that you read in. And those are the books that they send you. Like, I got a request last week from this entity who needs somebody who will review Street Lit.
Mm-hmm.
She strictly needs somebody for Street Lit because she can't read it. She doesn't like it. And so she needs somebody who was willing to do that. And she noticed that I had reviewed several of them, and she liked the way the review, you know, came off and things such as that. And so she contacted me personally and asked me, would I? And when I told her my selections of areas that I was viewing, she said, well, we can give you that every now and then, but I need a street lit reviewer. And I told her, I said, you can send them to me, I'll do them. Because I don't have a problem with street lit as long as it's a story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a full story, it has a beginning, the middle, and the end.
Right. The only problem I have with street lit is the lingo, you know, when they be the Ebonics and all those way out names. And that's basically why I can't get into street lit. Now, some,
yeah.
I think I've read a few street lit books, but it's not something that I would make, if I became a reviewer, I wouldn't really make that a priority.
Okay.
You know, maybe I would say I'll take a street lit maybe once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, one of the things I did tell her, and I told her up front, but I also tell, even when they come to me directly, I will tell them point blank. If I get into this book and this is not a complete story, I will put this book back in the envelope and send it back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no qualms with that. Otherwise, there's no way you can get a review of a rating more than like a 2-star because it's not even a complete story. And the review is going to reflect that. So I always give them an option. And one of the things that I do have a reputation for is my bluntness.
Yeah.
Because I would tell them, you know, no. You know, I even got recently I became the official reader for 2 authors. And they just throw things at me and they throw, you know, little things at me. And they say, how does this, you know, or if they have let's say they're writing and then they get to a stumbling block. And somebody told me, somebody called me a true reader. And that was one of the reasons why they requested me to read for them. They hit a stumbling block, and it just doesn't sound like, it sounds like something's missing to them, but they can't pinpoint it and things like that. Then they have a small group of readers that they will submit that to and get that their opinion on that piece. And I'm doing that now for 2 authors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So how long does it take you to, once you get into reading a book, how long does it take you to finish a book? Say, how many pages of books do you generally read?
They usually run near 350.
350 pages?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow. So how long does that take you to read? Say it's a good book and can't put it down, and
it's a good book that I can't put down, and I really get into that book. I could be through with that book in I'm gonna say a week, okay?
Oh, okay.
But that's mainly sometimes that it depends on the time of the year because I also work 2 jobs, so
right.
But from the end of May, towards the middle of May, until after the holiday in September, I'm not working the second job. So reading books can go faster. But if it's between those other times, then I'm working a full-time job and then a part-time job. So that takes the gut of my day. So really, basically, my reading is being done while I'm commuting on public transportation in the morning. And
right.
Then on the weekend. So it really depends on what the dynamics of what's going on at that time in my life. But I used to get more reading done in the summer than I did in the winter. But this summer
right.
was just too hot. It was just too hot.
So generally you would tell the person whose book you're reviewing, you give them a timeline as to when you're going to post your review?
Yes. And if anything happens, then I contact them again and tell them what the adjustment is. But usually from the very beginning, before I even accept that book, Therese, when I say accept, I mean before I say, okay, you can go ahead and send it to me, I've already told them that, first of all, I review in the order received. I tell them the approximate number of books that I have ahead of theirs and the time frame that I need in order to complete those books. And, like, right now, I'm up to the books received in May.
Okay.
I'm in the latter part of May, but I'm still only up to the books received in May.
So do you have, like, a cutoff time when you stop accepting books until you catch up, or you just continuously receive them?
I don't continuously receive them. I usually either someone emails me or they inbox me on Facebook and ask me about it. Now, the good thing is that my reading circle has a page on Facebook now. So they have started requesting it of the reading circle. And there's two people within the reading circle that I can say, do you want to read this book? I need you to write a review. And they just starting to do it. And one of them was so detailed that I told her, I said, I can't publish your review, but I can send it to the author. This is what I need you to give me for a review that can be published. And she was like, oh, okay, because she realized she was giving away too much of the story.
Too much of the book, right,
you
right.
Know, but actually, this is, cause see, she thought she was writing the review for the author.
Mm-hmm.
See, they know the story already.
Right.
I said, no, you're writing a review for the general public. If I was sitting down and I wanted to know why should I, if I was sitting down and I wanted to know why should I read this book, and I read your review should tell me enough about the book that I said, oh, that sounds interesting, but don't give away the book. And that's another thing that to me some reviews do. They're too long. They give you too much of what the gut of the story is.
Right. They tell basically the whole story in the review.
Okay.
Yeah, because I had a review like that from a young lady had reviewed my book, and she basically put everything down that was going on in the book. And, you know, I really felt a little bit uncomfortable with that, because as a simple fact, people would read that and, you know, would say, oh,
and
okay, well, I know what this book is about, you know.
Exactly, because they have the whole story. Like,
right.
Instead of telling them the outcome or what happened with Gail and John's relationship, I would say something to the lines of, due to the tumultuous events surrounding certain parts of Gail's life, it affected the way her and John communicated. Well, read the book and see, and I'll tell people, read the story and see if you could figure out where they went wrong or where they went right, and if they actually made it. And that's how I would end
right.
it. That's a simple way that you would talk about their relationship, where you told them that they're having these ups and downs. And you basically told them that Gail has more of the issue, I guess, because you said, you know, but you don't tell them the gut of the story. You don't tell them that due to Gail's past history with Ron, she doesn't trust. So she's looking sideways at John all the time. You know what I'm saying? That's giving away much of it, because basically you've told them the story.
Right.
But you've told them the reason why Gail is like she is. Okay, and then it's like, okay, well, do they get together or not? They're going to read the book only to find out do they get together or not? No, because most people realize that if they're doing a story, 9 times out of 10, they get together.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you can't tell too much.
Well, you know, it's very interesting how people give their reviews, and, you know, some people give them honestly and some people give them for different reasons, because I also received a review that I know was not an honest review because the young ladies, you know, I could just hear it in the review that she had given me that it was like she had an attitude, you know.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, she really could have told me from the beginning that she didn't want to interview my book. But I think it was a thing because she had given me a timeline, and she was the one who went over the timeline, not me.
Okay.
And I kept, you know, emailing her trying to find out what was going on. So finally she just, well, this, that, blah, 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 you know, what she had said in the interview. And I said, oh, okay, no problem. And, you know, the strangest thing about it, I saw one of those members who belonged to that book club who had reviewed
uh-huh.
my book. And I had mentioned it to her, and she said that the person who had done that interview was no longer with the book club.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering, was there problems with her, or, you know, just what the deal was? But she said she was no longer with that, but you know, with that book club.
Well, I know one of the things that I'm going to put out for discussion on my blog is that. When you review a book, what are you reviewing? What, you know, because I'm reviewing a story from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
There was one book that I reviewed, and I got called on the carpet by another reviewer because there was an error in the synopsis on the back of the book that I didn't catch.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't reading the synopsis on that book. I was reading that story. You understand what I'm saying? Now,
right,
that's not to say that I don't read the synopsis, but I read what's between the covers of the pages. I'm reading that story. So there was a question put out there and in one of the Facebook groups that I'm in, and some of the responses were very interesting to me. But, like, some reviewers feel that it's their job to criticize that book.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like that's the purpose in giving the review, is to criticize the book. They have to find something wrong. They have to do this. They have to do that. It's like, no, it depends on what type of reviewer you are. So when I talk to people, I tell them I'm reviewing that story. I'm reviewing what's between the pages of that book. And they say, so you don't review the cover. Why would I review a cover? Now, I may say that it's disappointing that this cover had this and that on it when the story was about this and that. I may say that to the author directly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I don't have to include that in my review.
Right, I had that in the review as well as her putting everything out. She said that the cover didn't go with the story, and she thought it was one way, but it was another way, you know, but that was her personal opinion because another reviewer had said that the cover did go with the story, you know, but...
And see, that's why I think that before you accept a book from somebody, those are some of the things that you need to discuss if that's a question that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And it will come up in my case, you know, because that's what I'm going to say. 9 times out of 10, especially now that Facebook is as popular as it is, many of them put their covers on Facebook before they even put the book out, and they get feedback on their covers and things like that. And for that reason, and I mean, almost all of them do that. So why would I review a cover when you've already gotten feedback about that cover and you went with that anyway? Now, if you ask me a direct question about that cover, I'm going to answer your question.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not basically or generally part of my review.
Right. Well, you got definitely, you know, I've got learned a lot tonight as far as book reviewers are concerned. And also, some people basically collect books as well, because I sent a couple of my books off to these people who were supposed to be reviewing them and never heard anything back from them.
Yeah, I've heard that.
You know,
'cause I don't read from PDF. And I've always said that. Anybody who's ever talked with me, I don't read excerpts. I wait for the book. I don't need to read that piece. That story may get in my head, and then an interview with me reading others because I'm trying to figure out how the story ended, and I got that on my brain. So I don't do that. But because I don't do PDF, I've had two authors make snide remarks, really, in regard to that, and then one of them learned who, well, I guess she learned from somebody else, I guess, who I am, and she came back apologizing and this, that, and the other. But if you want, if you got a question, ask me. There's a reason I don't do PDF. I carry a book with me everywhere I go. PDFs are big. They're bulky. No, I don't read from the computer, so that means I have to print them out. So you want me to be walking around here with sheets as opposed to, you know, a book, number one, because a book is bound and everything is together. If you send me, if you print it out from your computer and have it bound and send it to me, look how big that is. Remember, I just told you, I carry my books everywhere I go. People laugh at me because I could be anywhere, and I'm over in the corner somewhere reading. And it's like, okay, I'm ready to go home. I don't have to intervene. But because I carry it with me at all times, it needs to be something that can fit in my purse.
Right.
Now, I don't carry a super small purse, but, you know, one of the trade size books can easily fit in my purse. But anything much bigger than that, no. And I can't carry it back and forth with me every day.
What about a Kindle? Do you?
Girl, no. I'm probably going to be that last holdout. I like a book. I just can't. I can't get with. It's like at first I said you're being snobbish, Rhea. You're just not keeping with the times. And so I actually started trying to look at somebody, and I found I was reading from this lady's one, and I found that my attention was not held that story. And I wondered, was it, you know, and maybe it's because I do read in public a lot. And so, like, there's times when I'll take my lunch and I'll walk over to Grant Park. I work in our downtown area. And I walk over to Grant Park, and I sit there and I have me a smoothie and read my book for that 45 minutes or something or whatever, and then walk back over to the job. And I think because I do it in public, I'm conscientious of that. But it's just it's that feel of that book in my hand that I think I'm more attached to rather than the medium that is from under. And then too, when we talk about PDF, a lot of them don't number those pages. I read somebody's book from a PDF because they wanted me to read it before it was published, because they wanted to include my review in the book when the book was published. Girl, I dropped it.
Wow. Well, we're running out of time. We had 36 seconds to go, and this was a very interesting show. This was a very interesting show, even though we missed the main course, Antoine T-Money. But we're going to reschedule him again, and I appreciate all the information you gave up tonight, Rhea. And you be safe, and I'll be keeping in touch. Everybody else be safe. Good night. And that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rhea.
And
you have a beautiful evening.
Thank you for being up with the background noises. I'll be getting ready to go home shortly.
Okay, hon. It was a pleasure. And, you know, like I said, I do appreciate all that information. You know, I know people are going to pick that up.
Okie dokie.
All right, darling. You have a beautiful
evening. You have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
Okay,
bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Above us all.